Hey, it's Becca.
It's Nancy.
It's Brixie.
And this is
Insane Investigations.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you so much for listening. Today we have a really big announcement.
Yes, we do.
That we just want to start the episode off with. So you probably remember Brixie, who's been a guest on our podcast
Countless times. Yeah, literally.
We've literally made jokes about her just being a part of the podcast. And we've actually made it official. So yeah. Brixie is now a permanent co-host of Insane Investigation.
I'm delighted to be with you on a permanent basis. I'm so excited.
We're excited too to have you on a permanent basis. It's going to be so fucking good. And I feel like the timing is just perfect as well, because as everyone knows, we're after losing our job, so we don't get to see each other every day the way we would have. So at least now we have the podcast. It's all of our baby now.
And it's a perfect excuse to get together. And that's like I've been on this journey with you guys from day one anyway. Yeah. Like, I've been like your biggest cheerleader.
Supporter from the sidelines.
Definitely, 100%. So we're really, really excited. We did like a whole proposal on Brixie's birthday and asked her to become co-host.
I got an Insane Investigations cup and they look so nervous. And they're like, will you be on the podcast permanently? And I was like, of course I will. Don't need to ask me twice.
So now instead of double the fun, you have triple the fun. That's and it. Craziness.
Yeah.
So before we like jump into today's episode, Brixie obviously wasn't here for mine and Nancy's Insane Experience episode, but Brixie did work with us and she had a few things to add about the creepy office that we worked in.
Yeah, so first of all, Nancy's lift story where it all went black, I was in the lift with her.
Yeah.
And it literally just, like, it stopped, it went black, and it was, like, pitch black in there, because obviously there was, like, no light in there.
No.
And Nancy was like, oh, what's going on? And, like, we managed to find the button, click the open doors button, and it eventually came back to life. So that was creepy in and of itself.
Yeah, definitely.
But another thing that would happen, so all of the meeting rooms, they're like conference call rooms, and so like the guys talked about the cameras in there and that, but sometimes like you'd go into one of the meeting rooms, it wouldn't be booked or anything because the little touchpad would be red if it was booked, you'd walk in and there'd be like a video call to like a random place in London, like no one in the room, and the image on the screen was just like out of like some window in London, and it
so
literally said like
weird.
London, so you know how all the room names have the different names. This was just like London, UK or something weird like that.
What?
And it happened in a couple of rooms, and then something else that happened, I'd be like hiding in a meeting room because sometimes I had nothing to do, so it doesn't matter, I've already lost the job, so I don't care saying this. There was multiple occasions where I had nothing to do, but I couldn't like sit around the agents not doing anything, so sometimes I'd hide in a meeting room, I'd book it out for myself, and I'd twiddle my thumbs in there instead, and like the touchpad in the middle of the room would just start ringing.
Ew. What?
Like someone would be ringing the room.
That
like,
is fucked.
There wouldn't be a meeting booked.
Yeah, so it's not like somebody had the room reserved because they needed to do a work call or anything like
that.
Yeah,
like, and it wasn't like a video call. It wouldn't be coming up on the
screen.
It'd just be on the touchpad. So it'd be like someone, like, you know how we could like dial out on those touchpads?
Yeah.
It was like someone was ringing the touchpad.
That's scary.
Yeah.
There's literally no way to do that.
I think maybe like sometimes we'd ring new hires from
if somebody
them
called
because
out,
we didn't
yeah.
want new hires having our personal phone numbers. So we'd ring out, so if someone like had called from that, maybe it was someone like going, oh, I've missed a call from this number. That's like my logical explanation.
And people just trying to dial it back.
Yeah.
But still, that's still weird.
It is
like,
still
it's
weird.
Still freaky. Still freaky.
Like you'd think it'd be like this number can't dial back.
I don't know. I think the thing with the London,
the London
call
was weird.
London, that's just, and it's not like it's a person. It's just pointed out the window. The other thing as well that I wanted to mention, because something else creepy happened in my house since we recorded our Insane Experiences. The girls already know what happened because I already told them, but I'll tell you guys as well, and you can kind of hear everyone's opinions, because this one is unexplainable, so I'm looking for answers. So if you have some, please let me know. But basically what happened was, the other day my sister came home from being out, and she went into the bathroom, and basically on like the back of the toilet where the cistern is, we have like, it's right next to the sink, so we have like a little ceramic cup where we hold all our toothbrushes. And she said that as she sat on the toilet, she was, you know, going pee, she heard what sounded like somebody putting their toothbrush into the cup. Now, she was the only person in the bathroom, mind you, when all this happened. Like, as if that's not freaky enough, the fact that you're hearing this noise that you're not making. Because she said that while she was like sitting on the toilet, she was only going pee, so it was only like a second or whatever, like,
yeah.
But she was like texting her boyfriend at the time, so she was actually kind of like leaned forward on her phone. She wasn't like leaning back on the toilet or anything like that, so she was nowhere near this cup of toothbrushes. And what made it even freakier, when she turned around to see what the fuck that noise was, her toothbrush, not everyone else's, mind you, there was like four toothbrushes in there, like one for each of us, her one was pulled halfway out of the cup, and it was just stuck there balancing, kind of like half out, half in. And she showed me the way it was sitting, because in the moment she was kind of like freaked out, but she was trying not to like let it get to her.
Yeah.
So she just kind of like put it back in and just kind of went on about her business, like, you know, took her makeup off, whatever, got ready for bed, all of that. And it was only when she came in and told me and seen me freaking out about it that it kind of like, the fear settled in.
Yeah.
And she did show me the way it was sitting, and I demonstrated it for Becca and Briggsy as well. And like, it is so fucking chilling, and there's no way to explain what had happened. Like, it just makes absolutely zero fucking sense. We ended up telling our ma at the time, and she was like freaked the fuck out as well. She started running around the house like burning sage and like saying prayers and shit to try and get whatever bad juju out. But yeah, like, I went to the bathroom and I couldn't like feel any like bad vibes or anything like that, so I think whatever it was, my ma's little ritual helped. But it was fucking freaky as shit, and my ma didn't admit it that night, but she told me the following day. She said that first of all, she was genuinely creeped the fuck out when we told her what had happened, because she couldn't explain it either. And second of all, she said that she was going bathroom one of the night, and she said out of nowhere she could see like the curtain, the shower curtain, move. And the shower curtain was like pulled over, it was like closed, and she said she could see the shower curtain move. And so she said her heart stopped, and then it was only after she could just see a little furry paw coming out from underneath. It was Lily in the bathtub playing with the shower curtain that time. But it literally happened like the night after this whole toothbrush incident, and it like freaked my mind out. But yeah, we're laughing about it now, but I was literally crying my eyes out when I found out, because I was like, this is not, I do not need my house to be possessed now. Like, now is not the time. It's the last thing I fucking need going on in my life right now. But yeah.
Now, I know when you told us before, I was like, oh, I can't even think of how the toothbrush would come out. And I know you said like she was nowhere near it, but Jen has fairly long hair, doesn't she?
See, that's what I said to her. I go, what way was your hair? Because when she walked to the room, she told me her hair was up at the top of her head in a bun.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, was your hair down? Because I was thinking the same thing. Because I was like, maybe
it caught on the bristles.
It caught on the bristles and it pulled it out without her noticing. But she said two things. First of all, her hair was in the bun already, because she had put it up in the bun before she walked to the bathroom, because she knew she was going to be washing her face and taking her makeup off and all that. And she said, second of all, even with her bun, because she has very long hair, her bun's quite big, and obviously toothbrushes stick out.
Yeah.
I was like, maybe it still somehow got caught. But she swears that she did not lean back at all on that toilet. Like she said, as soon as she sat down, she was like on her phone, so she was kind of hunched forward while she was texting.
That, like, I have no explanation.
So I thought the same thing.
Yeah, if her hair was up in a bun, then no, I can't explain it.
I know.
Like I said to you at the time, like, you'd understand, like, a toothbrush, if it hadn't been put in properly and it falling down.
Yeah.
But not, like, coming up. Out.
Yeah, I genuinely don't know.
And Briggsy always has some type of rationale that calms us and makes us feel like crazy people.
I'm the skeptic of the group. Yeah. 100%.
But that's why I feel like it was important to have you on the podcast as well, because I feel like you kind of balance us out a little bit. Because obviously some listeners might be the same as me and Becca, where they're like, oh my god, yeah. But then there could be other listeners that are like, these two twats, what the fuck are they talking about? Like, they're so naive. Like, they believe in everything.
Yeah.
So it's good to have that other...
We're more well-rounded when
you're... Yeah. When I was actually researching for today's episode, like, Alan was kind of like, and you don't actually believe that, do you? And I was just, so he's like an example of like...
Skeptical.
The skeptic.
He's
like, that's a bit of a reach, though, babe. I'm like,
I don't think so.
I don't know.
We'll see. We'll leave it up to you guys to decide when we get into today's episode anyway.
Yeah. So today we are talking about something a little bit different. We're going to talk about reincarnation.
I'm fascinated by this. I'm actually genuinely, I know I say this a lot about our episodes, but when we first kind of thought of starting up the podcast, this is like top of my list, like one of the episodes I wanted to cover.
It's definitely been on the list since the start.
It's like the thought of it and everything to do with it. We're going to get into it, obviously, and we have some stories as well that we're going to share with you. But some of it, it's kind of like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, in that way, you're like, hold on, why does this actually make sense?
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, we've all picked different stories, and the story that I picked, I cannot come up with any other explanation other than reincarnation.
Yeah,
my family's actually really big into like spiritualism and all of that stuff, so like I grew up around like my family talking about this stuff, and my grandmother actually went to see a medium. Now my grandmother's passed away sadly in 2019, but as soon as you guys like mentioned this episode, I texted my auntie Claire and was like, what was it that mama said she was in a past life? So my mama had this, sorry, mama is grandmother for those of you who are not from the Midlands of England. My grandmother went to this medium and she was told that she had a past life, and that's she was crazy. Actually a man in a past life, and Auntie Claire doesn't remember exactly, and I asked my mom as well, because I remember mama telling us this when the three of us were drinking, because three generations of women drinking, of course you're going to talk about past lives and spirits.
Yeah,
you know, talk about spirits whilst you're drinking spirits, you know.
Yeah,
mom couldn't remember. Mom was just like, of course it probably was a man, knowing your mama. My grandmother had a very deep voice, to the point that my auntie's ex-husband used to call her Aunt Selma or Bernard.
Oh my god.
So we're not surprised she was a man, but Auntie Claire thinks she was an apothecary or a seer, some sort of healer.
Okay.
That's what she...
That's interesting.
...is coming to her, and she's pretty sure she was with her when Mama had this reading. So they used to go to this medium called Diane. And then also my cousin, everyone's always said that he's an old soul. We feel like he's been here many times before. I feel Gracie's probably the same. I think both of them are just old souls.
Yeah.
But yeah, my whole family, like, growing up, would always talk about, like, spirits and mediums. And my mom went to a spiritualist church, and I grew up around tarot cards and all of that stuff. So I think it's cool that my mama was... a man and potentially an apothecary.
Yeah.
So that's a chemist in modern terms. So makes and sells medicines. One of my friends, Amy, my best friend actually, she's going to be my maid of honor. She says she believes she was like a cheetah or something in a past life.
Okay.
And she remembers being shot.
Oh.
She remembers running. And then she remembers, like, being shot.
Wow.
That's weird.
That's mad. Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not going to turn around and say I did fucking die in a past life or anything like that, because I don't know. I've never, ever, like, looked into that side of things. But while I was researching for this episode, I'm sure we probably will kind of talk about it. But one thing that was coming up a lot was about birthmarks and about how people, if they have like specific birthmarks, it could mean like how they like passed away in a past life. And then I also heard this other thing about basically people who have like specific fears, but like really, really big fears. So if you're like terrified of flying with no reason whatsoever, but you're just terrified of flying, it could mean that you had died in a plane crash or something in a past life. For saying, I think if you're scared of water, you could have drowned.
Yeah.
If you're terrified of heights, you could have fallen off a building, or like things like that. If you're terrified of fire, even though you've never been in a fire, it could mean that you passed away in a fire in a past life. And my thing is, and I've never been able to explain it, and I don't know why I'm like this, but it's always not, it sounds really fucked up, but it's not like it's something I'm fascinated by, but it's always been like one of my biggest fears, and I'm just so terrified of it happening, is car crashes.
Yeah.
I've never been in a car crash in my life. I don't know anyone personally who's been in it. My parents had a crash, but it was like minor. It wasn't like anything insane. But like, anytime I hear a story about people like dying in a car crash or anything like that, I don't know why, it just gets me.
Yeah.
Like, it just affects me emotionally. And even like in a movie or a TV show, if there's ever like a car crash or things like that, I get so, so emotional about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And I always have like this giant fear of like there being a car crash or losing somebody close to me in a car crash. And I don't know why.
I don't have any like specific memories, but sometimes like, I don't know, I'll see somebody or I don't know, like something will just pop into my head and I'll be like, is this just like a weird deja vu type thing? Or yeah. Like, did I have past
does
lives?
Does this mean something?
I don't know. But then I start thinking about all different kinds of things and then I'm like, what if we're all just living the same life on repeat?
Oh God, I really hope not. I do not want to go through this shit again. Oh,
no.
I'm done.
I don't think I'd make it to 8.
I hope I'm a billionaire in my next one. Please, yeah, thank you. Please. I need it.
Yeah.
I better have a fucking damn good one after this shit I've been put through in this one.
I agree.
So we'll just start off by explaining like what reincarnation is to anybody who doesn't know or has never heard of it. I am just gonna give kind of like a broad definition because there's a lot of different belief systems around reincarnation and the exact definition of it changes from culture to culture. But essentially it's just another term for rebirth, but the process of this rebirth is what differs depending on who you speak to. So in most beliefs, the human soul is immortal, and when one body dies, the soul is then migrated to a newborn body, and that can be another human or an animal or any. And I actually studied Buddhism for a very, very short period of time last year, and while I was reading about it, I learned about samsara, which is basically the circle of life. And it's believed that the circle of life is painful and it's a repetitive cycle of life and rebirth, and your moral compass decides your fate, basically.
Samsara is the name of my mama's favourite perfume.
No way!
I'm wearing it today for a bit of good luck, and now I kind of wish I wasn't.
That's insane. That's scary.
What are the chances of that?
That is actually real scary. Do you wear it a lot? Or just...
Just when I need, like... To feel like my mama is looking after me.
Yeah, so basically, if you have an immoral soul, it will take form when you're reborn. So, like, for example, if you're to put it into, like, really, really layman's terms, it would be, like, if you were a sly person, you could come back as a snake.
Oh.
Do you get me? Like, things like that. But,
oh, I definitely know a few people that would come back as rats, so.
Yeah. Few snakes, few rats. I don't know what we'd be.
I feel like our past life must have like really done some shit to.
Sometimes
with
I
this.
Actually am sitting here and I'm like, I must have been Hitler or something. I don't know what the fuck I did to people to deserve this shit in this life, in a past life, but I apologize to the universe and please fucking fix my shit.
I am sorry for whatever I did. I have learned my lesson.
I am trying to be a better person. Please
put me back where I belong in some kind of cushy life.
Literally need it.
Yeah. So that's Buddhism and their whole side of what reincarnation is. Orphism, I hope I'm saying that right, is another popular theory, and it's quite similar to Buddhism, but they believe that the soul was divine and imprisoned by the body, and that by leading the correct life and abstaining from meat, wine, and sex, the soul could go to an evil soul would suffer punishments in hell. So they believed in reincarnation, but they also believed that eventually a soul could go to Elysium, a paradise after death, and an evil soul would suffer punishments in hell. So they still believed in reincarnation, but they believed that eventually you'd make it to heaven or hell.
Right, okay.
Whereas with Buddhism, they believed that eventually if you could get to a stage where in your life, your current life, you can reach enlightenment, only then you'll stop the whole circle of life.
Okay,
there's no hell.
Then,
it's just...
You need to...
Yeah, and you might never do that. You might just keep living and living and living and living. That sounds daunting. Orphics also believed that after passing through heaven and hell, the soul would go back into the cycle of reincarnation. So they'd get like a certain amount of time. Yeah. I assume like, you know, however good you were, you got more time in heaven, and however bad you were, you got more time in hell. I assume it was something.
Probably something like that, yeah.
Along those lines. So that's pretty much what reincarnation is. There's many different other cultures that believe you can be reincarnated if you have unfinished business on earth, or like Nancy was saying, some people believe that your birthmarks are connected to how you passed in your previous life. And then there's obviously the whole Christian reincarnation thing that I think everybody's heard of, where Jesus died and was it 3 days later he was reborn, and then he died again. But I think everybody knows that story.
Yeah, just ain't a religion podcast. Yeah, that we're not gonna get into it.
I feel like religion is just too much of a touchy subject.
Yeah, we'll probably end up offending some people.
So
people are probably gonna get offended either way. But
what we're gonna do instead is each of us study their own reincarnation stories. We haven't like read each other's or anything, and we're gonna tell each other different reincarnation stories that we studied, basically.
So the first story that we're gonna get into today is the story that Briggsy researched, called The Boy Who Lived Before. So Briggsy, if you wanna kick it off.
Yeah, absolutely. So if any of you've heard that title before, it's because it was an Extraordinary People episode that aired back in 2006. As soon as the girl said, we're doing reincarnation, I was like, I know exactly which one I'm doing. I remember that episode. So I rewatched it on potato quality on YouTube because, as I said, 2006 was when it aired, and it's the story of Cameron McCauley. So ever since Cameron could talk, he'd been telling a story about his life on Barra, which is a remote island in the Outer Hebrides.
I think I've heard of this.
Yeah,
I think I've
you
heard
probably
it.
Watched
I'm
the
not
episode.
Gonna say anything because I want you to continue on, but I think I've heard of this story before.
Yeah, probably. Like, it was an episode. I used to watch all the Extraordinary People episodes. I loved them.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, Barra is 220 miles from Cameron's current home in Glasgow. He describes in detail his childhood on the island. A white house he lived in, the black and white dog he walked on the beach. He talks about his mother, seven siblings, and his father, Shane Robertson, who died when he was run over by a car. Doesn't sound too strange.
Yeah.
No.
Except the fact that Cameron, at the time, was only 5 years old, and he'd never been to Barra. His memories seem to be from a former life.
Yeah, and it's not like Barra is a very, like, common touristy place. It's not like it's like New York or Las Vegas or, you know, like a big well-known
like Glasgow, where Glasgow, he lives. Everyone knows where Glasgow is. It's, you know, it's a big city.
Yeah,
but Barra is a tiny little island.
I never heard of it.
Me neither.
No, it's just like some tiny little Scottish island, and I'd never heard of it, and I am British.
I didn't remember this guy's name or anything, but when I heard Barra, because I never heard of that place before until I heard about this case.
The only Barra I knew was Barra Brith, which is a Welsh tea cake.
What the fuck is that show they have a Halloween? Barrenbrack. Barrenbrack? I don't know.
Hold on.
Do you ever have one of those?
No.
It tastes like shit, but you get a little cheapy ring inside that's made out of like copper or some shit, and you're dying to get it. You're meant to cut it into like slices or like whatever, squares.
Barrenbrack. Kind of like finding the coin in the Christmas pudding.
Yeah, basically it's the same. And you have to cut it in. If you get like the ring, you get to keep it, and you're like...
Or I think we used to always call it Barrenbrack, but that's it in Irish, so... Barrenbrack. Oh, yeah. So, but we're kind of right. But we always had it at Halloween, and like whoever got the ring, like you'd be, it was like a competition in my family. Like, you wanted the ring.
My ma used to have to buy two of them just to keep me and Jenny happy.
Anywho, moving on. Cameron's stories have become increasingly more detailed since he first started telling them, and the shock of him insisting, I'm a Barra boy. Has worn off a little. But his emotional attachment to his Barra mum concerns his mother. And there's clearly something going on in this poor kid's head when he says, my real Barra dad doesn't look left and right. Intrigued by her enigmatic son, Cameron's mother, Norma, has decided to investigate his claims. So in the episode of Extraordinary People, they decide to speak to some specialists to try and figure out whether this, what Cameron is describing, is true. Is it something he's made up? Where is it all coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So everyone who comes across Cameron is skeptical, but his stories are just so consistent. In Cameron's mum's search to find a rational explanation for Cameron's tales of his Barra childhood, Norma first visits psychologist Dr. Chris French, editor of The Skeptic magazine. So already he's going to be biased. He's editing Skeptic.
Yeah. Magazine.
French suggests that Cameron might simply have acquired knowledge about Barra through TV or a family friend and thus invented the stories himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as we were saying, if it was something where like Glasgow or Edinburgh or even Aberdeen,
yeah,
those are things that's going to pop up on TV. Barra, a tiny little island.
And also, like, even if it did pop up on the telly, like, why would he suddenly be like,
Barra?
I think he was making up stories if he was saying Spain, even a completely different country.
But
funny thing, actually, when I was moving house when I was 6 years old, I was literally only moving to the next town over, but my school teacher asked me where I was moving to, and I can't remember where I was moving to.
Yeah.
I said Wales. Little did I know, I was moving to Wales, but not at 6 years old. I moved to Wales when I was 13. I didn't know anything about Wales when I was 6 years old.
Yeah,
but
true.
But for some reason, my teacher asked me where I was moving to, I said Wales.
That's crazy. It's like you predicted your own future.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I get what you mean. As a child, you're kind of like, you just said that.
Yeah.
Without it having any type of truth behind it. Well, it did eventually. You didn't technically lie.
No.
But.
But like, I don't know where I got Wales from.
Yeah.
At all. Like, I don't think I'd ever watched anything on television about Wales. And, like, the only thing I can think that Cameron would have seen Barra is if there was, like, a news story that something popped on the news about Barra. I can't imagine there being a TV program.
No, I don't think so.
Norma isn't satisfied by French's explanation for Cameron's stories. So her next port of call is educational psychologist Karen Majors, who tells her that the way that Cameron describes his Barra world is similar to the way in which some children speak about imaginary places and people, except that Cameron really seems to believe that he has seen things he describes firsthand. He also doesn't seem to be able to control his fantasy as other children do. Norma decides to investigate the possibility of reincarnation, contacting leading expert Dr. Jim Tucker at the University of Virginia. Tucker has investigated countless statements of reincarnation from children across the world. One of the cases he refers to comes from the American Midwest. Gus Taylor was 18 months old when he first began claiming to be his own grandfather, returned to his family, saying, "I used to be big, now I'm a kid again." At four, he was given a photograph album in which he identified his grandfather as a young boy in a group school photo, as well as his first car. He startled his parents with knowledge they couldn't comprehend him having about an aunt who had been murdered. Gus talks about falling through a porthole. Cameron also frequently alludes to falling through a hole from Barra. He is very calm about death because he believes we come back.
What do they mean by falling through a hole?
Like they...
Like Cameron, literally or...
Cameron was like, "I fell through to you. I fell through from Barra to you."
Or like, okay, so that's how
so
they
So it
just...
could be like... the way they died and then it's like them falling through a tunnel being reborn then.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people say it's like they died and then their next memory is being born.
Norma always promised Cameron they could go back to Barra, and with Dr. Tucker's encouragement, she takes her son to the island to see if any of his previous life tales of the island can be verified. She hopes it will give him some perspective. Cameron has often described watching aeroplanes land on the beach from the family house. True to his memory, the beach does double as a runway. "Mommy, I recognize every single bit," he whispers. And like in the episode, like he's literally, the plane is landing on the beach. He's like, "Mommy, I recognize every single bit." It's like, "I told you."
Yeah.
So that was like weird.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. So they set off to try and find the house Cameron has talked about, which must be located at the north end of the island to provide the view of the beach he has described. They fail to find it. A local historian calls them to say that he has information about the Robertsons, a mainland family, and the address of the house where they used to spend the summer during the 1960s and 70s. The usual talkative and animated Cameron is suddenly nervous, and when they visit the house, he's strangely subdued. The house and its environs have a lot in common with Cameron's descriptions over the last 3 years. Initially, the trip seems to be a success, but Norma and Dr. Tucker's research into the Robertson family comes to nothing. The trail is running cold. Just going back to the house, like Cameron was going, like walking around the house going, "Yeah, this is my sister's room and this is where I slept and the fireplace is the same and all of that." Like he recognized, like, the house. There was like a gate at the bottom of the garden, which was like their private entrance to the beach. It was like the secret path to the beach.
And he knew all that.
And he knew all of that. Like that's how he described it.
That is so freaky. And the family never went there before. It's not
like they'd never been to Barra. But this is where it kind of doesn't quite match up. So okay. Norma visits a genealogist to find out more about the Robertson family and discovers a lady called Jilly, who would have been a child at the time that the Robertsons were spending their summers at the house,
mm-hmm.
at the same time that Cameron claimed he did in his former life. When Cameron met Jilly, she confirmed there was nobody in the family with the name Shane and nobody that died by being hit by a car. So Dr. Tucker believes that Cameron could have multiple past lives and could be mixing up the memories of these lives, which would explain the inconsistencies in his story.
Yeah.
So it's like the house matched, the planes landing on the beach matched, but there was no Shane Robertson, and certainly nobody that died by being hit by a car, and like there was no children that died in the Robertson family either.
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because on one side you're kind of like, oh, that's weird, but then obviously the fact that there wasn't anyone, there's no record of anyone living there that died or like by the name of Shane or anything like that. It's kind of like,
I watched this with Alan, and he was like, "You don't honestly believe that, do you?" He was like, "It's a bit of a reach." I'm like, "Yeah, but also like, how would that kid like?
How would he remember all that?
Describe the house and
see that part is still weird. Yeah, it's still weird. That's inexplicable. I don't know, maybe you could chalk it up to child's imagination. And I know with a lot of them, when I was looking into this, there was a lot of stories where like the parents got a lot of hate because people thought that it was the parents that were like basically doing this whole thing for attention, and they were using their kids as a source of that, you know, feeding them information or this and that. They're actually, they know about it, but I don't know.
At times kind of feel like that. It was like Norma would be like, "Is this what you remember? And is this what you think?"
Kind of giving them cues almost to.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Still an interesting story nonetheless.
I don't know if I'm a believer or not, but it's a cool story.
It is a cool story. I agree. So the next story I'm going to talk about is a short but sweet one, and it's about a boy called Luke Rillman. So when Luke was just 2 years old, he began insisting to his parents that he used to be a woman named Pam. So this one was like entirely different. He was a completely different gender. And he was Pam.
Like my mama being the male actually, alchemist.
So Luke's mother Erica said in an interview that her son had began speaking of a woman named Pam from when he was really young. But the family didn't know anyone by that name. So they were like, where did this kid? He was two. Who the fuck is Pam? Who was Pam? One day, Luke ended up finally explaining to his mom who this Pam was. And what he said about Pam was, "Well, I used to be, but I died. I went up to heaven, I saw God, and eventually God pushed me back down and I was a baby and you named me Luke. Now, this shit's coming from a 2-year-old.
And pushing back down is kind of like falling through the tunnel.
Yeah. There are similarities there, even though it's completely different. But yeah, fucking 2 saying this shit. And like, I don't know about you guys, but I don't even think I fucking knew what death meant when I was like a lot older than 2. Obviously, I don't have memories from when I was 2. But I'm pretty sure I didn't even fully understand the concept of death when I was like 6 and 7 when my goldfish died. I didn't really get it. I was like, what do you mean they're dead and they're not coming back? Like, what's that supposed to mean? And then like a 2-year-old talking about going up to heaven, seeing God, and then coming back down as a baby called Luke. Erica claims that her son also said that he traveled on a train to Chicago, but the family who live in Cincinnati, Ohio, had never been to the city. So once again, similar to Breezy's story. Yeah. So another thing that Luke used to say, and this is actually a quote from Erica, is he used to say, when I was a girl, I had black hair. I used to have earrings like that when I was a girl. So he'd obviously be pointing things out, like earrings, like if his mom was wearing earrings. I'm like, oh, I used to wear those too when I was a girl. So she began looking into what Luke was telling her and found out about a woman named Pam Robinson, who was one of 19 people killed in a fire at Chicago's Paxton Hotel in 1993. This was 24 years before Luke was born. So the Realman family was connected with the paranormal investigations TV show The Ghost Inside My Child, whose producers also investigated Luke's claims of being reincarnated. While filming, Luke was shown a full page of pictures with different African-American women in their 30s, one of whom was the late Pam Robinson. Luke was asked to point to Pam and pointed to the photo of her straight away. Erica ended up actually reaching out to Pam's family, basically to try and like learn more about Pam. And she did discover strange similarities between her son and Pam, including that they both love Stevie Wonder and playing keyboard. So apparently those were like the only 2 similarities. But the way it was done out was like, oh, she found all these similarities. But it was literally like, he was able to point her out in a lineup of pictures, said her name was Pam, and apparently they both love Stevie Wonder playing the keyboard. So, I don't know. It was another one that came from a TV show. I did read a few articles on it as well as watch the show. To be honest, like, the show itself, I feel like it is kind of over-dramatized a little bit. And they kind of overdo it a bit. Like, they really kind of amp it up. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, could be real, could be fake. But it is weird the way there are a few kind of similarities with the whole, the concept of how the whole reincarnation process happens. Yeah,
the falling through the hole. Yeah.
And one thing, I am actually genuinely curious to hear from our listeners as well, because there are a lot of people, I can't say it for myself, I did ask my mom, did I ever say weird shit as a kid? Did Jenny ever say weird shit as a kid? She was like, no. She was like, no. She's like, you said plenty of weird shit, but nothing to do with like past lives. So unfortunately, nothing kind of came from me. But there are a lot of people online who claim that their kids are doing it, or they have family relatives or neighbors' kids or someone that they know.
If they haven't got stories, you got like the vibe of old souls. Like, I feel like Becca is an old soul. You've been here before.
I'm definitely like, reincarnated.
You're the youngest, but me and you kind of gel more on like
maturity.
And that's true. Not like, just maturity, but like taste music
and films and
more old school shit.
Yeah. My dad even always said to me that I should have been born in the 70s, because like that's my life. That's my goal in life, is to live life like people did in the 70s. I like the fashion, like the music, everything. All
of that. I feel like I was like a part of the feminist movement, whether that be the suffragettes or the feminism movements in the later decades. Like,
I see that for you, to be honest. I do see that for you.
I love like Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, the movie, not the song. Well, I love the song as well, but the movie, just like them 3 women like fighting the man and standing up for themselves. I don't know, I feel like I was some sort of like activist of some sort in a past life.
I definitely see that. Now, I don't have any memories or anything, but I just feel like I do belong in a different time.
Yeah. If I had to choose a favorite decade, I don't know why. I'm similar to you with the 70s. For me, it's the 80s.
I knew you'd say
I the 80s. I love the 80s. And it was the weirdest thing, because I gotta hate myself for saying this, but when I was growing up, I was very much like, the only music I listened to was like what was trending. I did not listen. I had like zero personal music taste. It was literally just whatever was in the charts.
That's what we listen
thumbs
to.
Up, you know. Yeah. I did like EDM, like dance music, house music, all that kind of stuff as well. Like kind of party music, but mainly it was just like the charts. And that's why I never watched movies that were any older than like say 1996, 1997. Because I was like, oh no, that's too old. No, yeah. I'd hate to watch it. Oh, stay at that, that's too old. Or the music, I'd be like, oh, old music is shit. But now, I don't know, 1 year I just had this revelation where I started listening to songs. Do you know what it actually was? I think the big thing for me was Black Mirror.
Yeah.
It's so weird. You know that episode where it's like set in the 80s and all the shit? I don't know what it was about that episode, but just like the whole atmosphere and stuff. I was like, because they have a lot of good songs. Heaven is a Place on Earth, that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. That song I became fucking obsessed with from that. And I was just like, I feel like the song is so good. Like it's so much more than just Unsung's music. Like it's just amazing. And then I started like looking up more songs. And then I found out that a lot of songs that
The best music was in the 80s.
Amazing music, yeah. By far. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I feel like, and especially now, dude, like, I don't know what the fuck the story is with these new generations, but this music has gone to shite. It all sounds the exact same. And I don't know if it's me getting old, you know, and that's why I'm thinking it, but I feel like, nah. And just everything, like, yeah. their style, the hair, the makeup, just everything. And also the fact, like, technology wasn't really as big as it is now, and, you know, everyone just had to interact and stuff. Like, I don't know, I like yeah. that. I feel like nowadays it's like we all just live behind screens and we don't really.
I miss like somebody telling you about a song and like having to go home and like do research to try to find this fucking song.
Yeah, no, I know, it's just not the same anymore.
So the last story that we're gonna talk about today is a story about a girl called Shanti Devi. I don't know, we're gonna call her Shanti.
Yeah.
Was born on December 11th, 1926. So, good long while ago.
Yeah.
And she appeared to be a normal baby, healthy, everything was fine, until she turned 4. And that's when she began telling her parents about her past life. So, she declared that her previous name was Lugdi, and she was from a town called Mathura, which was 75 miles away from where she lived in Delhi at that time.
Yeah.
So she claimed that everyday events would trigger memories from her past life, such as clothes that she would have worn or food that she liked. It would kind of trigger memories and she'd remember that that's something that she would have done previously. So at first her parents dismissed the crazy statements that their child was throwing around, like, you know, just assuming that she has an active imagination.
Yeah.
But then things got a little bit weirder and she started to go into more detail about things that there was no way she could have known about at that age. For example, she was able to describe the shops and the streets in the town of Mathura, and she said that she had been married to a merchant and described him as fair and had a wart on his left cheek and wore reading glasses. She also told her parents that she died shortly after giving birth to her son in October of 1925. So a year before she was born, and she was able to describe what labor pains felt like and surgical procedures that she had underwent while in labor.
What? A 4-year-old?
Yeah. So
that's insane.
Yeah, it was just really, really weird, like, that she was able to reiterate all these medical procedures and like all the lengthy names and describe like the details of what happened to,
like,
her.
It's impossible
at such a young age. So initially, she refused to provide anybody with the name of her husband, but when she was 9, she finally admitted that his name was Pandi Kedarnath Chow, aka Kedarnath. A friend of the family decided to investigate this further.
So she had a whole last name. I wonder if it was because, say she was actually reincarnated, her prior death, her past life ended only a year before she was reborn.
So maybe that's why she remembers so much.
Yeah, because it was so soon.
Where if I died in the 70s, that was a real long time ago, so I wouldn't remember my life.
You wouldn't remember as much, yeah.
So the friend ended up sending a letter to a merchant named Kedarnath, who was living in Mathura. And surprisingly, they actually got a response confirming all of the details that Shanti had provided. So this man was able to come back and be like, yeah, no, all of that happened. She's right.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. So he agreed to send a relative to Shanti's home to discuss the situation further and try to get to the bottom of the whole situation. Initially, the relative introduced himself as Nat, but Shanti immediately said know that that wasn't her husband, and she was actually able to identify him as his cousin. So not only was she able to say that that wasn't him, she knew exactly who this fellow was.
Oh.
That is scary. It gets scarier. So Nat's son was 10 years old by that point, and when he entered Shanti's home, she apparently just burst into tears. She knew that that was her son straight away.
So
yeah,
imagine that, like, as a child walking and seeing another child and being like, my son,
who's a year older than you.
Yeah,
that is so, that is crazy. What? Yeah. The
She died in childbirth, you said?
Not in childbirth, it was shortly after childbirth.
Yeah. Okay, so she would have just seen this squishy baby person.
Yeah.
I'm not a child person, sorry.
Neither am I.
She would have seen this squishy baby.
Adorable little child.
There we go, that's the one.
But babies all look the same.
No, they don't. And I used to think that until, I'm sorry to the world, maybe we should edit this out, but there are some very ugly fucking babies.
There are ugly babies. So, oh my God. I'm sorry. It's the mothers that have the ugliest babies I've seen to post the most. Like, I don't want to see your hairy potato. Please put it the fuck away. Thank you.
Yeah. I had a neighbor who had a real ugly baby. Like, real ugly.
To be fair, actually, yeah, when I was watching Return to Amish, Sabrina's first two kids were really ugly when they were born, and then the latter two was like, oh, they're not so bad.
Oh, I actually haven't seen that. I haven't finished that.
Spoiler.
It's okay. No, she was pregnant anyway, so I knew she was having a child.
But yeah, so eventually Nat spoke to Shanti alone and asked her a series of questions about their life together, and each answer she gave was accurate.
That's insane.
I feel like this story is the most convincing.
I think so too. Of course, Becca,
yeah,
our research expert, puts together the best story.
Do you know, my plan was to look on Reddit, because Reddit is something that I am very, very new to.
I love Reddit.
I
don't use it nowhere near as much as I should, but anytime I do, it, like, for exactly the podcast, I'm like, oh.
Looking for. I'm not going to lie. I downloaded Reddit 6 months ago because I liked reading the Am I the Asshole things on Facebook, and I wanted to find somewhere that I could just read them.
Yeah.
So that's why I had Reddit, and I only started using it when I was looking for a different conspiracy theory we were doing. I can't remember what one it was, but my plan was to go and look for reincarnation stories there, but I just stumbled upon this story on the All That's Interesting website, because I always go there for research. So I was looking into reincarnation anyways, and this just popped up, and I started off reading it still intending to go to Reddit, but I just think that this is, you're insane.
Like, no, no, it is definitely insane. We definitely saved the best for last.
It gets worse. Like, it gets, like, more
insane.
Okay. A quote from somebody who was there to witness the investigations said he found the replies to be quite correct and was moved to tears.
Wow.
It was as though his dead wife was speaking.
I can't even imagine what that must be like. Like, you know, losing somebody, a loved one, and then suddenly this child, a random stranger's kid appears, and it's like, it's me. And you're like,
it's just, it's insane.
But then actually being able to answer questions and go into detail.
And he's just like, yeah, no, that did happen.
And, like, these people have never met in this current life up until this point. So it's not
exactly.
Like,
it makes
no
sense.
And what was it? They were, like, in a completely different city.
Yeah.
Miles away.
75 miles away.
Yeah.
And so this girl, like, she had never been there. Her parents had never even spoke about this place. And she knew about it. So she spent a couple of days with her husband and her son before they had to return home. She begged her family to allow her to visit Mathura and promised that she could lead them directly to her old home.
Mm-hmm.
So her parents reached out to Mahatma Gandhi, and after this crazy story grasped his attention, they asked him to investigate further. So obviously, like, this was becoming quite a public story because it's fucking crazy the detail that this girl was able to go into.
And mind you as well, this wasn't shit that happened in the days. Like, so were tellies even around in the 30s?
No.
So it's not even like, oh, she picked this up in a movie or so. I mean, yeah, maybe a magazine or a newspaper. But I don't
know, man.
I don't think so.
So in November of 1935, a dozen researchers joined Shanti and her family on the 3-hour train ride to Mathura.
Shanti had no problem leading the group to her former home and led them upstairs to the corner of a room, declaring that there was hidden treasure in a box under the floorboard. Nat opened the flooring and there was a box, but it was empty. Shanti panicked and said she was certain that there was money there, but Nat ended up admitting to taking it all after his wife had died. So even though it wasn't there, she was so sure that he ended up admitting, like, okay, yeah, no, you're right, it was there, I took it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even at that in itself, the fact that she was like, no, I know there was money here.
Yeah.
To the point where your man was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I did actually, I took it.
Like a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
At this point, if they start questioning you, you're going to be like, okay.
Yeah.
But she had an answer for everything. Shanti even visited her parents, who cried when they saw her. She wanted to stay in Mathura for longer, but her current parents and the investigators needed to go back to Delhi. They reported no rational explanation for what they had witnessed, and she claimed that during the time of her death, she felt dizzy and enveloped in a profound darkness before a flash of light revealed 4 men in yellow underwear before her. All the 4 seemed to be in their teens and their appearance and dress were very bright. She said, once while under hypnosis, they put me in a cup and carried me. Shanti claimed she saw the Hindu god Krishna showing each person a record of their good and bad activities on earth and telling them what would happen next. She was then taken to a golden staircase where she could see a river and there were souls there that appeared like flames. When she was 32, she had an interview with a newspaper and said she had never married and lived a quiet spiritual life in Delhi, and she passed away in 1987 at 61.
Wow.
Yeah.
That one is a wild one. Now, at the end, when she starts explaining...
the yellow underwear.
Yeah, yeah, I'm like, what the actual...
But I did think it was weird
and they carried her in a cup.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
I have no idea. It was like she was tripping or something.
Man, yeah. I'm kind of annoyed now because I was like full on eating it up. Yeah. I was like full on like believer to the tens. Like I was like 100% this happened. And now I'm like,
what the fuck is wrong with her? But I still was she mentally
ill this whole time? Was she tripping on acid? Like,
how would people be confirming all this?
See, I don't know, maybe all of it is true. Maybe then she just decided to go a bit extra with it. Maybe. And just decided to embellish a little bit. And that's when the crazy shit comes in.
The afterlife might involve 4 men in yellow underwear.
Well, now, see, now I want to stay alive. Because why would I want that?
Yeah.
And also, see, I feel like there's too much of a religious touch on this. As well.
Yeah.
That's what's kind of having me a bit on the fence, because it's like when it gets too like religious with it, it's like, okay, fair enough, if this is real, like, is it only real for Christians, is this only real for
Hindus?
Yeah. At the end of the day, it could have been a whole act put on by a load of like religious freaks.
Lord even knows, because stuff like that has happened, you know, where people
could be just because it's that person's belief, that's what their spirit sees, they like manifest their own afterlife.
That could be it.
That's reincarnation for you. Do with that information what you will.
Think what you will.
But we want to hear what you think. Do you think any of these stories are true? We're going to do a poll to see which one you think was the most believable, which one you think was the least believable.
Yeah, because I feel like now they're all kind of evened out.
Yeah, they're all kind of a bit like, okay.
There's bits.
No, that doesn't sound right. So
yeah, each one's got a bit of a... to it. Yeah.
It's like every single one, it's like so convincing, and then there's just this one bit where it just doesn't add up and you're just kind of like
weird.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think. Do you believe in reincarnation? Answer the polls. Let us know what you think. We want to hear from you as much as possible.
And let us know if you know anyone who's been reincarnated.
Yes, definitely. If you have your own reincarnation stories, email them to us.
Yeah, because we might even do a whole episode on that if we get enough. Or if there's enough of an interest, we could maybe do like a Reddit part 2.
Yeah.
And do like Reddit stories.
So just before we let you go, we do just want to give a shout out to our newest Patreon. So thank you so much, Thomas. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thomas is my brother. So cheers, buds. Thanks for listening. I have been on this podcast before, so you should have been listening already, but I appreciate the support, so...
Yeah. As long as you're listening now, we'll all forgive you. It's okay.
Yeah,
that's it. All is forgiven. We're burying the hatchet.
Yeah. But that is it for today. Another big welcome to Briggsy on our first episode as our permanent co-host.
I'm so happy to be an official member now, especially now we're all doing different things.
It's nice to hang out, give us an excuse to connect over. And it's something we're dedicated to. So even if we're like lazy, like it's still something we'll show up for. So it's
We'll still make the effort. The podcast is number one.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you for being an excuse for us to all hang out and leave our fellas alone somewhere else. So, yeah, you can follow us on all of our social media. It's all in the description below.
Bye!